Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Disney brings back its longtime leader, Bob Iger.
He was known as the mayor of Hollywood, right? He's a very, very smooth operator. Talent loves him. He would always be on the red carpet with stars and starlets. Chapek is clearly not quite as comfortable as Iger was in that role.
Why former CEO Bob Chapek was ousted and what it means for the company going forward. And could OPEC Plus reverse course and boost oil production? Plus, why some colleges are admitting students who never even applied. It's Monday, November 21st. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The alleged gunman in a deadly shooting at an LGBT nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado, late Saturday, has been arrested on murder and hate crime charges, according to court records. Five people were killed and more than a dozen others injured when the suspect opened fire with an AR-15-style gun, before police say he was confronted and restrained by people inside the club. Our reporter Alicia Caldwell is in Colorado Springs.
There's a growing memorial on the curb with flowers, candles, handwritten notes, sentiments of love and support for the LGBTQ community, flags, stuffed animals, all the trappings, unfortunately, of what we've seen before in the wake of mass shootings. I've only spoken directly to the mayor so far, who says, you know, this is not indicative of this community. This community supports the LGBTQ community, and they're gearing up what has happened before in Colorado in many instances. The network of assistance that will be required in the wake of this. Financial assistance, emotional sort of trauma assistance. There's actually a well-established Colorado fund for victims of this type of crime. Unfortunately, it's happened quite a bit here in Colorado, starting, you know, as early as the 1990s with the Columbine High School shooting.
Authorities are investigating how the alleged gunman was able to obtain the firearm used in the attack, given his troubled history. That's according to two law enforcement officials who say police confiscated firearms from him after he held his family at gunpoint over a year ago. The country's two largest railroad unions have split over a new labor deal brokered by the White House. Members of a conductor's union narrowly voted to reject the new contract, while an engineer's union narrowly approved it. The unions were the final two out of 12 to report votes. Eight have now ratified their agreements. The other four are returning to the negotiating table in the hopes of averting a strike that could upend supply chains as early as next month. We report exclusively that Saudi Arabia and other OPEC members are discussing raising oil production by up to 500,000 barrels a day. The move could help patch relations between the group and the Biden administration, which wants to keep energy flowing and prices low, even as it sanctions Russia's oil industry over its war in Ukraine. At its most recent meeting last month, OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, cut production by 2 million barrels a day. The group will meet again on December 4th, a day after the European Union is set to impose an embargo on Russian oil. The group of seven wealthy nations is also planning to cap the price of Russian crude. Saudi Arabia's energy minister has denied reporting by the Wall Street Journal and other outlets and said a production cut was possible instead. And at the World Cup, seven European teams are dropping their plans to wear anti-discrimination armbands on the field. England, Wales, Denmark, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Switzerland had planned on sporting One Love armbands at the Games. The move was widely understood as criticism against anti-homosexuality laws in Qatar, which is hosting the Games. But on Sunday, World Cup organizer FIFA notified the teams that wearing them would have meant automatic yellow cards for the players. The World Cup saw its first full day of games today, the U.S.'s first match against Wales ended in a tie of 1-1. Coming up, Disney taps longtime leader Bob Iger to return to lead the company. More on the challenges ahead for Disney's business after the break.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
As we reported this morning, there was a big change at the top for Disney over the weekend. In a surprise move, the company's board ousted CEO Bob Chapek and named longtime leader Bob Iger, who'd only left the company at the end of last year, CEO once again. The move sent Disney's stock up today, but the company faces a raft of challenges, from competing in the streaming space to turning around weaker-than-expected earnings. Robbie Whelan covers Disney for The Wall Street Journal and joins me now with more. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Emery.
So let's get right into it. What exactly went down here? This was a surprise announcement, and Chapek had only been in the role since February of 2020. What was going on sort of behind the scenes here?
Well, a lot of it actually didn't go on behind the scenes at all. It went on in full view of the public. And the real first challenge that Bob Chapek faced was back in March when Disney took a public stand on something called the Parental Rights in Education Bill, which was a Florida education bill that limited how much teachers can give classroom instruction to elementary school students about gender identity and sexual orientation. And Chapek faced a sort of a rebellion from a number of his employees who felt that Disney, because it has so many employees in Florida, more than 70,000 of them, really needed to take a stand, a firm stand on this bill, and they wanted the company to come out in opposition to the bill. Bob Chapek, unlike Bob Iger, is a very kind of reserved guy when it comes to politics and social issues. And he didn't think that it was the place for the company to weigh in on a bill like this. And he said as much to his employees in a letter to them. So that only made things worse. There were employee walkouts all throughout March. There were people protesting outside on both sides of this issue, outside of Disney's theme parks in Florida and Anaheim, California. And he really found himself in a tough spot. And he eventually made statements and made some donations saying, you know, we don't support this Florida bill. We think it should be repealed. By this time, it had been passed by the state legislature and signed into law by the governor. So it set up this really public and really kind of nasty political battle between the company and Ron DeSantis. And really, the company since then has been really, really allergic to any mention whatsoever of what went on in Florida.
And Robbie, we know, too, that Disney's latest earnings were weaker than expected, and the company also sounded a note of caution in its outlook. How much of a role did those earnings play?
So things are still unfolding right now. We don't know for sure exactly what the last straw was here that led Mr. Chapek to lose his job. My sources are telling me that not only was it the earnings that alarmed the board of directors, but also Mr. Chapek's tone on the phone call with investors after the earnings report. A very positive tone, all sort of skating around kind of this bigger issue, which was that losses are kind of getting out of control in a number of divisions at Disney. The company has said over and over again that they want their streaming business to be profitable by September 2024. And each quarter that comes and goes, we're sort of sitting here listening, you know, are they going to revise that outlook? Are they going to maybe take a more conservative, cautious tone? And they did revise down their target for subscription growth significantly. That happened in the third quarter of the year. However, they've never revised down that confident target they had for profitability. And in this quarter, this most recent one that came out earlier this month, the losses from that segment, from the streaming video business, doubled to almost $1.5 billion for the quarter, which is a massive, massive loss. I mean, Disney Plus, the division that includes Disney Plus, which is called direct-to-consumer streaming, has lost more than $8.5 billion since Disney Plus was launched in late 2019. And with Chapek sort of talking as if everything's great, there's a real disconnect there. And there was real sense, I think, among investors that he wasn't really being straight with them. He was talking very confidently about the future of the company while the company is really just bleeding money on its main product.
Robbie, what about pressure from activist investors? How significant of a pull did they have here in Chapek's ouster?
We reported exclusively in our story today that Trian, which is a fund run by a very well-known activist investor named Nelson Peltz, had accumulated almost $1 billion in Disney stock over the last few weeks. He's been in contact with the company. He wants a board seat. He wants to see some big cuts in spending. Also, interestingly, he's not a fan of Bob Iger's management because Trian believes that under Bob Iger in 2019, Disney way overpaid for a basket of entertainment assets they bought from 21st Century Fox, which included, of course, you know, 20th Century Studios, the people who make Avatar, The Simpsons, and a big stake in Hulu. A number of businesses that really were additive to Disney's brand, but they paid $72 billion for them. And a lot of investors kind of saw that big price tag and thought, why do we really need to do this? And Tryon's one of them. So we've got so Tryon is the second of two prominent activist investors who have put some pressure on Disney this year. The first one is Dan Loeb and his hedge fund, Third Point. Loeb made a long list of demands as well of the company. He wanted to see cost cutting. But what these two investments add up to is a company that's not really used to having brand name investors pressuring it for changes, or at least it wasn't used to that under Bob Iger. But under Chapek, the fact that we've got two investors that people listen to pressuring them to radically change the company and sort of get costs under control, that's another warning sign that I'm sure the board was thinking about when they made this decision.
So what does this mean now, bringing back Bob Iger? What do we expect this to mean for Disney's business? And what are the biggest challenges now? You already indicated, of course, streaming among them.
The short answer is we don't know what Bob Iger Part 2 is going to look like. But we do know that he has been sort of unhappy with certain things about the way the company has been run. I've had former executives tell me that, you know, they felt that the creative soul of the company was being destroyed, and that Bob Chapek really didn't understand the business of creating movies and shows that resonated with viewers, and that they hope that with Iger returning, that should really be... I mean, Iger is, he was known as the mayor of Hollywood, right? He's a very, very smooth operator. Talent loves him. He would always be on the red carpet with stars and starlets. Chapek is clearly not quite as comfortable as Iger was in that role. And as a result, you know, I think that people were worried that top talent might be looking elsewhere when they wanted to make something really great. And so I think that a lot of the employees are kind of celebrating right now, because I think that, you know, with the return of Iger might come a return of kind of a creative flourishing at the company.
That's Wall Street Journal Disney reporter Robbie Whelan. Robbie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
And finally, applying for college can be a long, time-consuming process involving pages of applications and lengthy personal essays. And then, of course, there are the application fees. But more colleges lately are bringing in students through a relatively new process, one that cuts out many of the steps in traditional college applications. It's called direct admission. Students sign up to join a pool of potential applicants, and schools reach out to the students they want with admissions offers. Sound too good to be true? Well, it gets better. Our higher education reporter, Melissa Korn, says direct admissions can even come with guaranteed scholarships.
A lot of these schools, especially the smaller private colleges, award merit aid. And it's, you know, anybody with a GPA over a certain threshold gets this $10,000 or $20,000. But they don't always know that that's part of the financial aid package. So if they're told up front in an email, you know, yes, this is real, you're in at this school, and by the way, they're giving you $25,000 a year guaranteed, that makes college seem that much more feasible for lower income students or students whose families haven't gone to school before.
Oh, and no essay required either. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.